Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period, so you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
This week's Off the Vine is sponsored by Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It could just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Mercari. Mercari is an app you can use to sell the stuff. Mercari makes it fast and easy for anyone to sell and earn some extra cash. Take a few pics, add a description, set a price, and boom, your item is listed. So if you have things you don't use, sell them, ship them, and get paid. Check out Mercari on the app stores or on Mercari.com. And Breyers. Try Breyers Carb Smart for your next sweet tooth craving. Available at all major retailers, Walmart, Target, Kroger, Amazon Fresh, etc. Go to Breyers.com/vine to get a coupon to try it out today.
Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls and gents can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. Today on the podcast, I have one of the four members of the Tenderloins who you likely know from the hidden camera reality game show Impractical Jokers. In addition to being one of our favorite comedians, he is also a popular author. And last month, he released a thrilling horror novel to finish out the Awakened trilogy. He's here today to talk all about his career, both in comedy and his new book, which I'm very excited to hear about. So please enjoy this next hour with James Murray, aka Murr. So I have to admit, I am very excited to talk to you because I've been a longtime fan of Impractical Jokers.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, it usually like is something I put on like when I crawl into bed and I'm like, oh, I'll put on something to fall asleep, and then I don't fall asleep because I'm laughing so hard. And yeah. I feel like I've tweeted you guys as a fan, like such a loser, so many times, being like, hey, like, can I come on and can we do like a bit? And nobody responds to me.
We've never written back?
Well, I feel like maybe Joe has, because I think his wife was like a Bachelor fan.
Yes. So I'm gonna tweet you right now.
Stop it. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to tweet you right now saying that, yes, you can come on the show and do a bit with us, okay?
I was talking to Joey Fatone the other day, saying, like, because he gets to be such a big part of the show. And I was like, what the hell? How do I get a job like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't see the tweets. I would have written back if it did. As soon as my fiance found out that I was doing this podcast tonight, she lost her mind, by the
really?
Way. She's a massive Bachelor and Bachelorette fan and freaked out. And so there you go. So just like I'm sure Joe's wife freaked out too. So
that's awesome. Well, I love that because our two worlds are colliding, The Bachelor and Impractical Jokers. I feel like so many people that are like follow me, and I tweeted out that I was going to be doing a podcast with you, and everyone's like, my two favorite worlds colliding, because everyone loves
Wow.
them.
That's great.
So freaking good. I always want to know too, like, I'm sure you get asked this all the time. It's probably like the number one question, but now that you guys are like known and people know the show, do people just recognize you all the time now when you're like trying to fool them?
It happens, but remember, you're only seeing one of us, right? So like if you walk into a supermarket and you see one of us behind the counter ring you up, if you saw all four of us, you'd be like, oh my god, those are the guys from Jokers. If you see one of us, you're like, is that the mechanic that I used to, you know, is that the, is that the guy that, is that the guy that works in the pharmacy at CPS? Like, we kind of look familiar, but not enough to really remember. You know what I mean? We
look like the kind of,
we look like the kind of guys you settle for, you know?
Like you could have been my mechanic, but I also could have seen you on TV somehow. That's actually funny because that happens to me sometimes. If people have seen me on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, they'll be like, how do I know you? Like, have we met before? And that happens. So that makes sense. I never even thought of that. Because, yeah, if I saw you all four together, well, I mean, I feel like I would recognize you if you're behind a counter or something. But
the funny thing is when people screw up how they know us, or they eventually remember, they'll go like, oh, you're on that show, right? The show, I swear I've heard this so many times. You're on the show with the three dicks, right? Like, yeah, I'm on the show with the three dicks. That's it.
That happens to you a lot, like more than a handful of times.
So many times.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so funny. Okay, so for people who are listening who don't know how you guys have all come together, can you explain like a little bit about how the show started and how you guys all know each other?
The guys and I are best friends. We met when we were 13 years old in high school and we met the first day of high school, right? I remember meeting Joe distinctly. We were in religion class and Miss Fiducia was teaching religion class. And, he, you know, Joe has a pretty big nose, right? So as she would walk up and down the aisle, he would secretly drop his nose on her elbow and she had no idea. She's teaching the Beatitudes or whatever she's teaching. It was so funny. And we became friends, all of us, and did improv together in high school. And then after college, we formed a comedy troupe and did improv together then and sketch comedy. And it took us 11 years to sell Impractical Jokers. 11 years.
Really? 11 years?
Yep. Yeah. We tried other shows and they didn't go. We sold two other pilots to different networks. They didn't go. And then we came up with the idea for Jokers and three times a charm, finally. So it was like an 11-year overnight success story.
That's so cool. That must be like so rewarding to work that hard or go 11 years. Like, what made you not give up and keep going to 11 years?
We did. We had ups and downs, and sometimes we would stop, and there's like a 2-year gap in the middle where we're like, screw it, it's not going to work. Yeah. And we always just found our way back to each other.
That's so sweet. You know, And you all live in the same city now, right? In New York or like around New York?
We all grew up in Staten Island, but we all kind of have spread out since then. So Joe's in Long Island. Q and Sal still live in Staten Island. I was in Manhattan for a long, long time and just moved to Princeton with New Jersey with my fiance about 8-9 months ago.
Oh, awesome. How did you and your fiance meet? Oh, at one of your book signings, right?
We did. You're ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. I was just talking about this the other day to my friends. I was like, we were like, could you imagine? Oh, to Darren, my co-writer of my books. Yeah. He 3 years ago when I met him, he was in a long-term relationship with somebody else for like 20 years, but they had no kids, weren't married. And he had a cat and that's lived in the UK. 3 years later, he has a baby, a new wife, lives in Toronto, like total upside down world life. Yeah. 3 years ago, I was living in Manhattan, consummate bachelor, in relationship after relationship, relationship. None of them were sticking, had no intentions of ever getting married or ever having children. And then him and I wrote a book together. Then he met his wife through the Joker's cruise. He was on our Impractical Joker's cruise. That a few months later, I met my now soon to be wife. At my book launch, she came to the after party of the first book, Awakened, and we hit it off at the party. And I went back to my apartment that night with some of my friends, and I said to them, I was like, did you see that girl at the party that I was talking to? Oh my God, she was gorgeous. I can't believe it. And I said to her, I was like, if she was dating a guy at the time, they were at the end of their relationship. Yeah. I said, if you're ever not dating him, you let me know. 3 months later, she broke up with him a week later. 3 months later, she finally let me know. We started dating shortly thereafter, and here we are. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love the how people met stories. I think that's so cute. Was she a fan of the books? Like, why was she at the book thing?
She was a fan of me.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, she was a fan of me and saw I was having a party that night and said, hey, why don't we go by? And she happened to be in Manhattan. She's from Philadelphia. And I'm like, think of all the things that had to go exactly according to that plan for that to happen. right? I mean, if we chose a different venue to do the party at, if we decided not to do an after party, if we only did one after party instead of two nights in a row, if she didn't come into the Manhattan that day, if there was traffic and they said, oh, screw it. Like, so many things.
I know. That's wild.
Little decisions along the way.
It's so crazy too, because I mean, I'm just such a believer in timing, but that same thing happened for me and my boyfriend. Like, I was not planning on meeting anybody. I just got out of a relationship. I was going to do a podcast with him, but I was like, too like mopey about this breakup. I didn't really want to go do it. He had like a sty in his eye and he was like, I can't show up with a sty in my eye. And we were both like trying to find excuses to not do this podcast together. And then we both just decided to do it. And I was actually almost missed my flight because I was just running so behind and I was like, I should just tell him I can't do it. And then we both battled and we did it. And now we've been dating for almost 2 years.
See, there you go.
That's amazing. I love it.
If it wasn't for the sty in that eye, you know.
Right? And then it gave him a little bit of confidence after I saw him with the sty and still found him attractive. Yeah. So then he was like, wow.
Sure, you've seen him at his worst, basically. Well, not his entire, but, you know, pretty darn bad.
That sty was pretty disgusting. So, seen him at his worst. That's funny. Yeah.
I've got a question. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? You know what I'm going to say here. Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote. By the way, I'm working on that with Pinot and ramen. And as nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
Okay, you released a movie, the Impractical Jokers movie, right?
Yes. We were just crying. Joe and his wife came over yesterday. We were in the pool and stuff. Yeah. And we were crying laughing at this realization. So we were, I think, the last movie to come out in movie theaters before everything shut down. I think we were the last. We were only in theaters for 2 weeks before every theater shut down. So I think it's a blessing. I was like, shoot, we got 2 weeks in theaters. That was amazing. Like we had an amazing 2 weeks. Yeah. The movie did well. It kind of exceeded expectations. The fan base came out in droves to see it.
Yeah.
And it occurred to us a couple of things. First, because we're like the last movie to come out in 2020, we might be the highest grossing comedy of 2020 by forfeit, right? Because there's nothing else coming out.
Take it.
And then second, there was only a month and a half of movies coming out before everything shut down. So when the Academy Awards come around in January, we might win like 12 Academy Awards because there's no competition. And we were crying laughing at us at the possibility of us winning like best foreign film, best film, best actor, best supporting actors, best animated feature. We win everything.
Best music.
This is no competition. Oh. Best musical.
That's amazing. Hey, you know what? Movies usually drop off after like 2 weeks anyways. So you guys like got in, you did the movie theater thing, but now can we find it somewhere like on TV? Is it on like HBO Max or something?
It's everywhere. We got permission. This is hard to wrangle, but we got permission to get out of the movie theater deal early because the world shut down, and they let us release it streaming a full month and a half earlier than it was supposed to, the distributors, you know. So now you can get it anywhere, Amazon Prime, Netflix, not Netflix, you know, Apple, what is it? You know, whatever, anywhere, Apple TV, Roku.
Okay, I'm going to watch that tonight. I actually, until I was doing this research, it's funny because I'm like, such a fan. And then I was like, wait, they have a movie?
Yeah, the movie, that when you watch the movie, keep in mind the punishment at the end of the movie is real.
Okay. I want to ask who gets the punishment, but I don't want to spoil it.
I won't spoil it, but whoever did it, and it is real, what you see, it's not stuntman, there's no green screen. Keep in mind that we took a $15 million life insurance policy out on the guy in case he died doing it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. When in situations like that, are you not terrified that something like that could happen? Like with the, what was it? An alligator or crocodile? Like, was that not the most terrifying thing in the world when you're like, okay, we had to sign this because that could happen?
The movie's the worst of it. You'll see when you watch it. The movie's the worst of it. We had to film the punishment for the movie on the final day of production because the only way insurance would cover the movie is if that was the final day. That way, if the guy died doing it, they still had the entire movie done. It was already in the can. They could still make their money back releasing the movie. And we probably would have made more money if he died doing it.
Seriously. Oh my God, that's insane. I always wonder, like, the behind the scenes of everything you guys do, like how, what kind of contracts you have to sign. And like when you run into people and like do something and do your little bit, do they have to sign something after? Like, do you have to go back and then tell them like, hey, by the way, this was like a thing, or do they just go on with their day and being like, what just happened?
No, we have to get their permission afterward.
Yeah.
So to this day, we're in season 9 of Jokers, 230 episodes in. To this day, we're still trying to convince strangers who don't know who we are to be on television. It's as hard as it was 10 years ago when we started.
Yeah, because people are all, you know, about convenience and everyone's in a rush going places. And the last thing they want to do is like sit and sign a contract. But I would be like, yes, absolutely. Put me on. That is amazing. Yeah. I was always hoping I'd be like randomly in New York and you guys wouldn't know who I was. And I would be like, play along and be like, yeah, I'll sign. And like, you guys wouldn't know. That wouldn't happen, though.
No, I already told you we're putting you on the show. As soon as we're done with this podcast, you'll see a tweet from me, I swear, saying, come on, be on the show.
Okay, well, that makes me very happy. And you can't take it back now because we're recording.
I can't, nor will I take it back.
Okay, I am holding you to that. Okay, now tell me also about the Misery Index on TBS that you're starring in, right?
Yep, that's our...
Okay, tell me all about it.
The Misery Index is great. It's do you know Jamila Jamil from The Good Place?
Yes.
She's amazing and wonderful. She's the host of the show. The guys and I are the stars of the show. The idea is this. There are two contestants competing to win lots of cash and prizes. And what they're doing is they're watching these real clips from the internet or newspaper articles. And they have to evaluate where these clips fall on this real index called the Misery Index. This is a real scale that psychiatrists and psychologists use to rate the impact on somebody's life of an event. So the scale is, you know, physical pain, psychological torture, and long-term impact on your life. And it equates to 100%. And we are like their consigliaries. Two of us are with each contestant, and we have to talk our way through these clips and figure out where it ranks on the Misery Index and help them guess correctly. It is hysterically funny because we're seeing these clips for the first time. It's a game show.
Yeah.
We can't prepare in any way.
Yeah.
We have to see it for the first time with them.
Yeah.
And we're reacting honestly. And basically the show becomes the four of us debating insane things you see and already watch on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. And our hearts are in it because there's real money at stake.
Yeah.
And everybody competing, all these contestants have like real things. One person's like, you know, I never got to take my wife on a honeymoon. It's been 10 years. If I win, I'm going to take her on the honeymoon. And we're like, oh my God, if you lose, I'm going to give you the money for it anyway. You know, I feel personally obligated to help them win.
Oh, it's they have like
fun.
The top stories and everything. I wouldn't be able to do that. I feel like I would just like you said, I'd be like, well, okay, I'll take care of you after.
Find me after. We'll start a GoFundMe or something.
Kind of like me begging to be on your show. You're like, okay, after this, I swear to God. pity tweet.
You're already on the show. You're already going to be on the show. It's not begging.
Stop being desperate. Okay. That's so funny. I can't wait to. So when will that air?
That airs every Thursday night.
It does?
Yeah.
On True TV, right?
No, that's TBS.
TBS.
So you've got a 10 o'clock on True TV.
You've got
Impractical Jokers Dinner Party, which is our new show where we're at home during quarantine having dinner together. Then you switch the channels at 10:30 onto TBS, and you can see us on the Misery Index. And very soon we go back into production on Impractical Jokers, and you'll see that on TV again too. So there you go.
Gosh, you guys are busy bees over there. That's crazy. The dinner party, that's while you're in quarantine. So have you guys finished filming that, or are you still going?
We just finished the first eight episodes, and more episodes to come, hopefully. And it was great. It was fun. It's actually, the show stands on its own. I would love to continue it. for years to come, because it's just insane conversations between best friends. And you're like, you should be on that show too.
Okay.
We have guests pop in to surprise the guys. Only one, the host of that episode knows who's joining. So like we had Jeff Daniels one episode, Harris one episode. It was great. You should be on it too.
Jeff Daniels, I always just think of him from Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yep.
What is he like in person?
He's been very warm to us. He's a super fan of the show. And we got to meet him backstage. He was in To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway for a long time. And we got to meet him. And then he was in Jokers. We crafted a challenge just for him and put him in the show. And then we just had him in Dinner Party too. I love him. I think he's a great guy. You know?
Really warm. Jim Carrey is like my hero, but I like him too.
I was just watching Ace Ventura, Pet Detective this morning.
That's so funny. I actually just watched that like 2 weeks ago. Rewatched it because I was like, I just love Jim Carrey. I'm Canadian. He's Canadian. So there's that. But I just like grew up loving him and thinking he was the funniest person on the planet.
He is. He absolutely is.
I agree.
We've heard that he's a huge fan of Jokers.
I could see that.
We've heard from a couple of people, and I think he mentioned it sometime somewhere in press a while ago. And one day we will also get him in the show too. Maybe in the same episode as you. We'll see.
Yeah, totally. Two Canadians on the same level of fame, for sure.
It'll be a very special Canada Canadian episode of Jokers.
We'll do it in Toronto.
I would love to. That'd be great.
Have you been to Canada?
Yeah, we tour there. We were supposed to be there. Gosh, I'm supposed to be there on tour in Toronto in like 2 weeks, but we.
Wait, did you guys go on tour there in Vancouver? Did you go to Vancouver?
No, we've toured Montreal and Toronto, and then we were adding Vancouver. I think this tour, that was the last tour. This tour, we're doing Montreal, Vancouver. I'm sorry, Toronto, and the Vancouver too.
Okay, awesome.
I'd like to know if you're like me, when you've been spending a lot of time at home, like a lot. Cleaning out closets, basements, garages, and realizing that you have way too much stuff that you don't even use anymore and it's taking up space. Well, I have some news for you. People will pay good money to buy your stuff on the Mercari app. It's the fast and easy way to sell almost anything and make extra money. Who doesn't want that? In just minutes, you can download Mercari, take pics of your stuff, add a description, and it's listed just like that. Once it's sold, Mercari emails a shipping label. You just stick it on the box, ship it from your home. No meetups, no hassles. Mercari makes it super easy to make a few extra bucks and clear valuable space in your home. The app has over 50 million downloads in all 50 states, so stuff really sells. And the app has over 700,000 reviews on the App Store with an average of 4.8 star rating. People clearly love using Mercari, and you will too. Download Mercari to give your stuff a new life. Sell and buy almost anything on Mercari. Find it on the app stores or on Mercari.com. That's Mercari, Mercari, America's no meetup marketplace. Download today.
Okay, you know, I can't keep a secret. Depends what it is, but most of the time, no. Or a deal to myself, which is why I'm going to tell you the best place to find spring savings, Ross. Okay, you'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices, you're definitely finding your next favorite outfit, trust me. You do not want to miss out on these deals on your favorite tops, and it's spring. So, you know, Ross has savings on sundresses. You can shop your spring style with brand names, sandals for less. And with these savings, you're going to want to get a handle on these handbags. Get outside this spring with savings on the outdoor tableware. And let's not forget about the guys, okay? There are plenty of great deals on men's shirts and more. Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. Believe me, your wallet will thank you. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. You're listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
You've recently released a third book, right? Have you always been writing? You have, right? Because you used to write your little, I just got a flashback of your like little film that they aired one time and you guys.
You know what? Don't go bring up bad memories, okay? Honestly, this is not a roast of myrrh.
I'm just kidding. We're talking about your books now.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. So I graduated college a long time ago. And my father had, when both my sisters graduated, he bought them like a cheapo car as a congratulations for the graduation. So he says, you know, I'm going to buy you like a, $5,000-$6,000 car. Just let me know what you want. Right. And he was going to give me like a cheap Ford Taurus or something. And I said, no, Dad, no, you keep that money. I said, because what I want for my college graduation is for you to fund my first short feature film. I should have taken the goddamn car is what it came down to. Because the film, which they torture me on in Practical Jokers, is the worst. Can I curse?
Yeah, of course. Please do.
It's the worst. It's the worst piece of shit ever made, right? And what they did to me on Jokers is they found the film from 20 years ago, 10, 15 years, whatever. And they put it on, they brought in this like British film critic to analyze the movie in front of a live audience. And they watched the movie. I'm sitting in the audience like, oh my God, this is so goddamn bad. And then they call me up as the filmmaker, and the critic just rips me a new asshole about how bad it is. He goes, you know, Orson Welles' first film was Citizen Kane. This is your first film. I was like, oh my God, it was so bad. It took me 20 years to buy my first car. I only bought my first car a few months ago when I moved here to the house, because I think I was still punishing myself for making that film. No joke.
Subconsciously, you were like, just still like not deserving of a car.
I was. I don't think I deserved a new car. I wasn't worthy of a new car yet.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. But you have been worthy of books and TV shows and all this. So I love that you just bought a car a few months ago. That's amazing.
My first car a few months ago. I never owned one in my life.
What a feeling. Do you feel like I was a new man?
I feel it is weird. I mean, I like driving. It's just weird owning one. I'm like, that's my car. Because I literally, up until 5 months ago, I still drove a green Huffy bicycle.
Stop it!
So literally, I'd ride my bicycle to set in Manhattan or whatever, and I'd just zip around. I have like one of those little hoverboard things. I'd zip around on that, and that's how I got around.
Oh my gosh, you must feel so liberated now.
Yeah, I felt and liberated.
Like, made it.
I feel like I feel like I've made up for the shit film I made 20 years ago, finally. I finally achieved something.
Did that guy really not know, like, it was for a show?
No. He thinks it's part of this event where he has to analyze a film. So he's watching it, and he tore it apart. Rightfully so, it sucked.
That's incredible, because I have tweeted before saying, like, do we think, like, all of these are real? And so many people had reached out being like, I actually was on it, or my sister or my friend, and, like, they had no idea. And I was like, yes, that makes me love it so much more, how That's real great. These situations are that you guys put yourself in. It's just incredible. Okay, but back to your book. Tell me about this book.
So the story of the books is this. I always loved writing thrillers and horror. I have a degree in English and writing from Georgetown, and I always wanted to write books. Yeah. And a few years after college, I had this idea for a thriller called Awakened. And I spent this is 2004. I spent a year of my life writing a book. But this is long before Impractical Jokers. I didn't know anybody. I had no cousin that worked in publishing. I had no connections. So I spent a year writing this thriller. I sent it out to every publisher in New York City, and they all returned it to me unopened. They wouldn't even read it because I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. It was unsolicited, no lawyer. Yeah. And I couldn't get a single person to read it. And fast forward, a decade goes by. I get on TV. Impractical Jokers, our fan base, how amazing they are. And then I send the same exact book, not a word changed, into HarperCollins, and they bought the trilogy from me immediately. And the first book hit number one on the international bestseller list, and hit bestsellers all across America, and did really, really well. And
good for you.
And then The Brink came out last year, and then the final one of the trilogy, Obliteration, just came out like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. It's like this action-packed, page-turning thriller. You can't put it down. It reads like the very best action movie you've ever read. Yeah. And it's like got like cliffhanger endings, and it's sci-fi thriller. It's really fun and exciting. It's very readable. And that just came out like a week or two ago. And then we have five more books coming out.
Wow.
Five more. Yeah. I was busy last year. I sold five new ones. I've got Don't Move.
Crazy.
Don't Move comes out in October. It's you would be great in this movie. Uh-huh. I'm going to sell this movie.
Okay.
Don't Move is a thriller, takes place in the woods. Yeah, yeah. That comes out in October. Then I have, one second. Oh, this is not video, but I'll show you anyway. It's just audio, but
I want to know.
The Stowaway, I was literally writing today. The Stowaway comes out next April.
Wow.
This is from another publisher. And then I have three children's books, thrillers, coming out starting next summer called Interns of Area 51. It's like a comedy thriller kid series.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. So how long does that process take? I mean, I know your first one, you said for a year you were writing it, but it's crazy to me that you're doing all this stuff with like Impractical Jokers and all these shows and you're like a comedian in that and being funny. And then you just go home and write these like horror books. What do you prefer? Do you like them both equally or do you like writing better than you like, you're not acting, being yourself on TV?
Yeah. I think I like touring the best, being on stage.
Really?
And performing. Oh my God. There's nothing better. Like I'll tell you a funny story. So like 12 years ago, before Impractical Jokers, 12 years ago, the guys and I did a live show in Manhattan. The theater held 30 people and only two people bought tickets to see us perform. This is before Jokers, in like 2008. Two people bought tickets. The tickets were $5 each, right? Yeah. And the theater cost us like $65 to rent. So we lost $55 on the night, right? It's crazy. And then 10 years later, we sold out Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
And then we sold out six nights at the O2, which is $25,000 a night, and six shows at Radio City. And to go from, but it wasn't that long ago. Like I remember that performing for two people. And then I remember performing for 20,000 people. And when you get on stage after having so many years of failing, when you get on stage and you experience the energy from the crowd and what the show means to them, which you don't experience when you're filming a hidden camera show, it's hidden. I have no idea how it's affecting people in their homes and their families and their lives. And to see that of them there with us in concert, basically holding up signs and t-shirts, it is humbling and overwhelming and the highest of highs you could ever have. So nothing beats that.
I can see where you're coming from. I mean, that would be my goal, to do Madison Square Garden. Like I do small shows with Off the Vine and we tour, and I absolutely love it for the same reasons. Like you see how much you've impacted people, or you make them smile, or you've like, you know, they all have stories of how they came to watch your show and who they watch it with and what it means to them. And that's like my goal in life, is to do a show as big as 20,000 people. I think my biggest one was like 1,200. Still,
that's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, it was so fun. But it's like, good for you guys for, you know, it's so crazy to me that there's a lot of people, I think, in our generation now, like who want to see success overnight and certain things happening, like, and they don't realize that the people like you guys or people who've done certain things in life, that they don't know the 11 years before that of how hard you were trying, or like certain other things about selling two tickets and, you know, performing for two people and owing the theater $55. Like they don't really know all those stories of how you got there. So I love when people share stories like that. So
yeah.
Super cool.
One day, if you do a podcast show in New York, count me in. I'll show up.
That would be awesome. I think I was trying for this next tour that obviously had to get canceled because of everything, because we were going to come to New York. And I was like, I would love to have, I mean, you especially on out of all the other three dicks, but...
you and the three dicks, come on the show.
You're the three dicks. You can leave them at home. You just come on down. But that's what I wanted to have you guys so bad on this next one, but we had to cancel it. But next time.
Can I tell you a funny story? So you know, the name Impractical Jokers is fine. This show plays around the world, but in many countries, the word impractical does not translate. There's no Belgian word. There's no Dutch word for impractical. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they rename the show around the world. So in lots of countries, it's Impractical Jokers, but in other countries, it's called something else. So for example, in Belgium, the show is called Furter Vrijden, which literally means four dicks, I swear. And then in Holland, the show is called... This needs no translating. The show is called D-E, like one, two words, D-E, D-E, D-E-F-ers. the f***ers. Which I think is hysterical.
You have to say in that, or the network gets to pick those names?
They pick it. They pick it. So you see the faces and it says the f***ers. Or four dicks. You know, because there's no word in Dutch for impractical.
Is there still the Jokers?
Yes, it still has a logo and the fonts, everything's the same. You know, but it's but it says the f***ers. It says the f***ers in the same Joker's font.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's hysterical.
That is so funny. I mean, I'm probably going to call you guys that for the rest of time, but it's over here.
If one day we're on your podcast and you don't introduce us as the f***ers, I'd be very upset.
But I just say it in that accent. Oh, that's incredible. Okay, so we always do confessions in my podcast. And I feel like you probably have a few good ones for me, or just one. Just pick your favorite, confess to me, and I'll forgive you, and all will be well.
Oh, it's not you I need forgiveness from.
Okay.
For this confession.
Okay.
Well, I've never admitted it to this individual, what happened. I keep a list to this day of like the 10 most embarrassing things that have happened to me. Okay. And most of them are not on... One or two of them are on Impractical Jokers. The rest are just for my personal life, right? So up there, like top, maybe it's number four, most embarrassing things that ever happened to me. I have to this day never confessed that I did it. But I'm here telling you that I did it. I'm the one that did this, okay? So I used to live in Manhattan, right? And I lived on the 56th floor of a high-rise. Okay. And my apartment has an elevator bank that goes express from the lobby to 40, and then goes to the upper floors, right? So you bypass the lower floors, and that's how you get it to the upper floors of the building. So when you're in the elevator and you're going down, when you hit like 44, 43, 42, and if the elevator hasn't slowed down, chances are you're going express right to the lobby. No one else is getting the elevator. You're in for the next minute alone. So I'm in the elevator going down to the lobby, and it's like 45, 44, 43, 42. I'm like, okay, no one else is getting this elevator with me. I'm fine. And I let out the worst fart of my life. It was the worst. It echoed, and it was, I would have killed a small child if they were in there. It was so bad. It was so bad. But I'm like, I'm in the elevator alone. It's already at 42nd floor. We're fine.
Right. You That's always goes. When it, yeah.
The elevator suddenly slows down and I panic. The doors open and the most beautiful woman, other than my fiance, the most beautiful woman in my apartment building gets in the elevator. I panic. So I get out on the 42nd floor, right? She gets in, I get out because I panic. All these years of improv training, it doesn't mean shit because I panicked and froze. First, because she's gorgeous. Second, because she's walking into
your
hell, right? Yeah. So she walks in, I walk out. And as the doors close, I hear her say, "Oh my God," right? And the doors close, right? The doors close. I'm so embarrassed. My face is bright red. I wait like, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. I'm like so embarrassed. I turn around, I hit the elevator button again to go back down to the lobby. I didn't wait long enough. And the doors reopen and she's staring at me. She's staring at me knowing that it had to be me. And I just stared at her. And I looked at her and I said, "I'm on the wrong floor." And the doors closed again. And I left her to die. I left her to die in the elevator. I was clearly on the wrong floor. And I'm here to confess to her, if she's listening, I was the one that farted that day. You know who I am. I'm Murr from the 56th floor.
Okay, how long ago was this?
This is last year.
I hope she, one, knew who you were, and two, listens to this podcast, because then I'm going to have her call in and talk and try and explain your fart in a sentence.
The story continues, but like a few weeks later, I get in the elevator in the lobby, and there's like three or four more people, and she walks on. It's the first time I'd seen her since that moment, and she said hello to everybody in the elevator except for me, and ignored me entirely. And I know She has to know. She has to know. It's like it's this unspoken. It's the silent but deadly elephant in the room. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. And you didn't run into her like anytime after that? That was the last time just in that group when she avoided you?
She might have moved out of the building because of that incident. Who knows?
I mean, she sounds traumatized.
She was. I was so embarrassed. I ended up, then I got in my head. I started thinking when the doors reopened, I was terrified to go back in the elevator. So I walked from the 42nd floor up to my floor, the 56th floor. I walked the staircase embarrassed. I stayed in the building. I never left. I waited a full hour before I left the building. I was too embarrassed.
Oh my gosh. That's one of my favorite confessions. Yeah. That's always like, that's like a nightmare. That's my real hell right there, is farting in an elevator and a hot guy getting in knowing I did it.
Right. But I could have said anything. Anything.
If
I could have
go back and redo it. What would you have said? I know you've replayed this in your mind a few times.
I did. I would have smiled and said, don't blame me. It was the last guy that just got out. Oh, you know what I mean? Anything. Like,
that's kind of joking off. Like, always says though.
Like, hey, we're in this together, and I should have stayed there with her instead of being, you know, just being a coward and leaving her to die in the trenches.
Yeah, you should have held her hand through that one.
Yeah, I should have been there and be like, oh my god, can you believe this? We're in it together, kind of thing. Let's get down to the lobby.
Yeah, you could have not been in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah. You're right.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast, which is made possible by our friends over at Breyers Carb Smart, partnering with American farmers for 100% grade A milk and cream. By now, you've probably heard us raving about our new favorite frozen treat, Breyers Carb Smart, available in tubs and bars with yummy flavors like caramel swirl, chocolate covered almond, vanilla, and peanut butter, each with only 150 calories or less and 3 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. Breyers Carb Smart is the perfect frozen treat for all those hot summer days, and because we love it so much, we'd like you to try it too. So here's a special offer for our listeners from Breyers Carb Smart to satisfy your next sweet tooth craving. Just go to Breyers.com/vine to get a special $2 off coupon. Yep, $2 off to enjoy these delicious Breyers Carb Smart frozen treats. My mouth is already watering. The perfect companion to your low-carb lifestyle. That's Breyers.com/vine to print your $2 off coupon. And then pick up your favorite Breyers. Okay, you know, I can't keep a secret. Depends what it is, but most of the time, no. Or a deal to myself, which is why I'm going to tell you the best place to find spring savings, Ross. Okay, you'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends, because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices, you're definitely finding your next favorite outfit, trust me. You do not want to miss out on these deals on your favorite tops, and it's spring. So, you know, Ross has savings on sundresses, and you can shop your spring style with brand names, sandals for less. And with these savings, you're going to want to get a handle on these handbags. Get outside this spring with savings on the outdoor tableware. And let's not forget about the guys, okay? There are plenty of great deals on men's shirts and more. Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. Believe me, your wallet will thank you. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Carb Smart flavors at Walmart, Target, Kroger, Amazon Fresh, or wherever you shop.
We'll be back with more Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Hey guys, Jessica Nixon here from the hit podcast Now What, and this week I welcome Kaj Larson and Amaryllis Fox from Netflix hit show The Business of Drugs. Take a listen.
Big Pharma as an industry is out of control, and the perception that drug abuse and enrichment from drug abuse is a problem that is restricted to the shadows and is kind of the drug dealer on the corner. Was one of the things that I think we really wanted to challenge, because the reality is that the drug dealer at the pill mill or the pharmaceutical company that's putting these ads on TV, knowing that, all of the addictive properties are there, are actually doing far more damage than any street corner peddler could have the scale or capability to do.
So don't miss Now What this Wednesday and every Wednesday on Podcast One.
Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Okay, I have one quick game for you, then we're going to have a couple listener questions, and then I will let you go. But this game is obviously a play on your show, the Misery Index, where you rate situations from 1 to 100 on basically how embarrassing and miserable they are. So here's some real confessions that I found, and I want to hear how you're going to rate them.
Okie doke.
Okay. Getting caught naked on the Google Maps camera car.
Oh, this is a real story.
Yeah.
This is a real thing, right? Yeah. I think I've seen this clip. There was a guy, yeah. And I think there was somebody else got caught cheating on Google Maps. Yes. Can you imagine?
No.
I think getting caught naked is low. I think it's like 34. Getting caught cheating is like a 72.
Okay. 72. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Sending a nude to the wrong person.
I think it really depends on who. Is it a relative? Embarrassing. Is it a boss? Very embarrassing. Is it
it's relative.
A relative, like grandma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or great Aunt Lillian.
You send a D to grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. You send a picture of the D to great Aunt Lillian. Grandma
Lillian doesn't know how to work pictures on her phone. Though, so
yeah, she's still using a flip phone. That's okay. If you send grandma the D, that's going to be pretty high up there. I think that's legacy. That's family legacy. That's, you're never going to live that down. You might give her a heart attack. Who knows? You know, I think that's going to be, I think it's going to be like a 58, pretty high.
Okay. Pretty high. Getting the same Postmates driver twice in one day.
The same Postmates driver?
Yeah.
I've heard of Postmates. What is it?
Oh, it's like a food delivery, like Uber Eats.
So it's like Uber Eats or Seamless or Grubhub.
Yeah.
Getting the same guy in one day?
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time.
Okay, thank you, because that was going to be my confession. That happened to me. And I was like, I mean, that could be a confession, but I don't feel too bad about that. It's almost impressive that, like, you get the same guy twice. Like, it's like...
Yeah, that's not embarrassing. Would the embarrassment be from your order? Like, it depends on what you order, too. If each time, and it's only you in the house, and each time you ordered 4 large Meat Lovers pizzas, and it's just you alone, I'd be like, you know, it's a little embarrassing, maybe.
Okay, but I can show you the receipts. I ordered McDonald's the first time, pizza the second.
Yeah, that's, you know.
You
so
again.
Now you're adding some color to the conversation, and it gets more embarrassing.
Yeah.
I still think it's relatively low. I still put it at like a 16.
Yeah, like I was almost proud when I answered the door, and I was like, yeah, round 2. Here we go.
Yeah.
I was also super high, so. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple questions from listeners, and then I will let you get back to your dog and your fiance.
Okie doke.
Okay. Mrs. Latina Doctor, perhaps? Okay. How long before it happens are the punishments planned, and how do you guys decide what it will be?
Good question. The punishments sometimes are planned a year in advance. We have punishments that are still in the works that have been in the works for 3 years now.
Wow.
The longest punishment we ever had took a year to make, that we were actually doing it and filming it all throughout a whole year before we revealed it. I'd say the average punishment gets thought of a few weeks before. They're the last thing we film for an episode because they have to be precisely right, you know, and tailored toward that guy.
Yeah.
So the key is this: don't ever leave the room. That's what it comes down to. So like if the four of us are hanging out and one guy leaves the room to go to the bathroom, to make a phone call, he'll come back in to the writer's room or to dinner or whatever. And the other guys will be like, shh, shh, shh. And you're like, God damn it. I shouldn't have left because they're planning something against me.
Yeah, totally. That's okay. I don't know who asked this, but I know I saw it on here. Does Sal really think everything is that funny that he like almost pukes and falls over?
He does. He's actually physically thrown up on set.
Yeah. That is so funny.
I'm not entirely convinced my marriage is real, by the way, because Melissa might be just a punishment on the show. It might be a long con. You know, I have no idea. What if they reveal at the wedding that it's all been like a prank? I mean, that's a hell of a punishment.
wait, I am scared for you. Could you imagine? Because they convinced you one time some girl had a crush on you, and you were like so convinced that you were vibing with her. Oh my gosh, yes. That would be the ultimate. Tell me you would not be their friend anymore if they did that one to you.
I don't know how it would never happen. I don't know, because they've done it to me before. You saw it. Yeah. There was a girl flirting with me on the show. She was beautiful. I was flirting back. We had plans as to what we might do, where we might go on our first date. And she was into it. And then they revealed she was just a paid actress. They paid to flirt with me. And then after that, so we finished filming that day, and I go up to her. I was like, hey, I know this joke is really funny, but if you're ever interested, here's my actual number. And she never called me.
The joke that just like that never, yeah. Like it's just always funny for all of us and not you.
Yeah. So when the challenge was over and I gave her my number again, she didn't take it.
Oh my gosh. That is freaking amazing. Okay. Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even see, this Cassidy girl just asked that a question about that. Okay. Kendall Mason says, how did it feel to wear Q's hair for a whole season? Please tell me someone washed the wig for him.
No. The punishment was that I could not wash it. So I wore it for 6 months through the New York City summer, filming every day outside. It was disgusting. It smelled like pot and whiskey. That's it. So I just had a head. I would have to go home after filming every day and scrub what little hair I have left to get rid of the pot and whiskey smell from Q's actual hair. Okay, ready for this?
Yeah.
How much do you think that wig cost to make? Keep this in mind. We flew the country's best wig maker to Manhattan to do this. He cut the hair off Q's head and put it back together in the exact order each follicle was on Q's head to make the wig. How much do you think the wig cost to make?
Okay, well, when you say that, I'm going to go with $2,500.
$10,000. It's a $10,000 wig. Yes. It's a $10,000 joke.
Pot and whiskey?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, for $10,000, you couldn't get the smell of pot and whiskey out? Come on.
Yeah, like throw in a free shampoo, for God's sake.
You got to Febreze that shit.
Wait, that's so funny. So is that what Q smells like? Because now I just think he smells like pot and whiskey.
That's pretty much his scent. That's I think that's his natural, aroma.
What would you say Joe's natural aroma is?
I feel like, he's vegan, so it's changed. Before, he used to smell like gravy, I guess. or donut. Maybe donut. Yeah. He smells like a donut hole. I don't know.
Well, what's Sal's?
Sal smells like paranoia or fear.
Why is he so scared of everything?
Yeah, I think he smells like what fear would smell like manifested.
That's okay. Now what's your aroma?
This is a funny game. I think I smell like Red Lobster. Yeah, I think I smell like a Cheddar Bay biscuit from Red Lobster. That's if I had a guess.
Oh, dang. Okay, at first I was grossed out, but now I want a cheddar biscuit.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
One of my favorite games I've played so far on this podcast. Okay. I feel like I've asked you all these. Okay, what was the worst? Lindsay wants to know what the worst punishment you've ever faced was, in your opinion.
Oh, there's a couple that come to mind. We did a punishment where they stripped me down and had me in a little like Speedo, and they greased me up and told me I had to compete in a bodybuilding competition. Yeah. And when I walked into the room where I thought the bodybuilding competition was, there was no competition. It was Danica McKellar, who played the character Winnie Cooper on the TV show The Wonder Years in the 80s. She was like my childhood crush from 30 years ago. She was there in a gown looking gorgeous, and I have my nipples out and I'm all greased up, and I had to interview her. It was so mortifyingly embarrassing. And the second one that comes to mind is here. Now, I know this is only audio, but you'll appreciate it.
Okay.
They shaved my eyebrows off for punishment.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
And I take pride in my eyebrows and how nice they're shaped.
Yeah.
And they made me get a driver's license photo with no eyebrows, which what they don't tell you on TV is that this license is my license still until 2024. This is a 10-year punishment. It's still my license. It's a 10-year punishment where I look like a potato that just got dumped.
You do look like a potato.
Or I look like Lex Luthor's penis.
Those are two very accurate things that you look like. That's so funny. Have you ever had that, like, you have to use it and people be like, that's not you?
Well, yes, because my passport has Q's hair on it and my driver's license photo has no hair. They just like with my forms of identification, you know, that's all the whole show just with my look. That's all they do.
And wait, what tattoo did you have to get a tattoo, or who got a tattoo?
I have a ferret skydiving tattoo on my thigh right there. Sal has, well, I don't want to spoil this for you if you're going to watch the Joker's movie. You know, Sal has a Jaden Smith tattoo on his leg.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything, but in the Joker's movie, the tattoos come back for a second time. I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
And who knows, maybe Jaden Smith is in the Impractical Jokers movie too.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking about that today while I was like preparing for this. I was like, I wonder if Jaden Smith ever said anything or like was like, yo man, cool tattoo.
You are going to love the Jaden Smith scene in the Jokers movie.
Oh my gosh. I am watching this tonight again.
Yeah.
So a lot of people actually want to know when you're getting married, which has been an ongoing question. Do you guys have a date?
We do. We're getting married this fall, is what I'll say. we do have a fall wedding. It's coming along. It's getting here very quickly. And we're proceeding according to plan. You know, we had to cut the list in half. Yeah. So like the BS third and fourth cousins, they got the boot.
Yeah, so. We didn't want them there anyways.
No.
That's amazing. Well, where can everyone find you on like social media and anything else you want to share? Can I do like a swipe up on my story for your book?
Yes, please. That'd be great. The new book is Obliteration. I appreciate it. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold. Mm-hmm. The one that comes out this fall is called Don't Move. You can pre-order signed copies of that now on fountainbookstore.com. Or go to Mysterious Galaxy, and they'll have it on their homepage to get an autographed copy. You can go to, I'm easy to find. And I'm going to tweet you. Just find me on social media.
I'll retweet you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was so fun having you. I am just such a huge fan of you and the three other dicks, and I just can't wait to meet in person in New York one day.
I'm so glad you love the f***ers as much as we do.
Love the f***ers. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Tell your fiance I say hi.
I will.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
With OTV. Coming to Live by Live Thursday, July 30th, Darius Rucker's Darius and Friends virtual concert benefiting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Catch an exclusive one-time-only performance by Darius Rucker live from the Grand Ole Opry stage, featuring guest appearances by Clint Black and Tracy Lawrence. All proceeds from the show benefit St. Jude, so get your tickets today at livexlive.com/Darius and tune in July 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
Okay, you know, I can't keep a secret. Depends what it is, but most of the time, no. Or a deal to myself, which is why I'm going to tell you the best place to find spring savings, Ross. Okay, you'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices, you're definitely finding your next favorite outfit. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on these deals on your favorite tops. And it's spring, so, you know, Ross has savings on sundresses. You can shop your spring style with brand name sandals for less. And with these savings, you're going to want to get a handle on these handbags. Get outside this spring with savings on the outdoor tableware. And let's not forget about the guys, okay? There are plenty of great deals on men's shirts and more. Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. Believe me, your wallet will thank you. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross.